Welcome to today's episode. If you are a part of the veterinarian community, you know staying informed is key, and that's where DVM360 comes in. From the latest clinical insights to practical tips for your practice and conference coverage of the industry's biggest shows, DVM360.com is your trusted hub for news, education, and resources made just for veterinarian professionals like you. Be sure to check it out and stay connected with everything shaping veterinary medicine today.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. Dog packing. That's right. I heard it. You heard it. We're talking about it. I'm actually going into this blind with you as well to the listeners. I'm so excited. We have a wonderful colleague, Dr. Krista Holling, in the house. How are you, my friend?
Excellent, Adam. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with your listeners.
Yes, and I'm not kidding, right, doctor? Like I really don't know much about this, and I'm curious to learn as we're going in. So that's what makes it a really great conversation. And a little bit of information about our wonderful friend, Krista. She's a board-certified small animal surgeon and certified in both canine rehabilitation and the human-animal bond with over 25 years of clinical and academic experience. She's the founder of dogpacking.com. So it's a science-backed resource that helps dog owners deepen their bond through outdoor activities like hiking, biking, paddling, and camping. We're going to talk about that more. Drawing on veterinary research and real-world adventures with her mini golden doodle River, Krista focuses on physical and emotional benefits of shared movements in nature. Her mission is to inspire people to get outside and connect with their dogs through activities in nature, enriching both lives in the process. I love this. So let's unpack this. See what I did there? And let's talk about what exactly is dog packing and how does it differ from just, quote, walking your dog?
Excellent question. And walking your dog can count as dog packing. It's a mindset and a lifestyle. So the way I define the word dog packing is you picture people know what backpacking is. So dog packing is you take a pack, like just a backpack, you take a pack, you take your dog, and you head out your door past your front porch for an adventure. The adventure can be around the block, around the city, around the world. That's not the important thing. It's you and your dog are out there doing something together, being active and being in nature, even if it's short, low-hanging fruit of the park down the street. It's a mindset change that's very different from I'm just going to take the dog for a walk, because there you show up as you and the dog happen to be going for a walk together, but you're not showing up really present for your dog. There is so much when you go down the rabbit hole of the benefit of shifting your mindset to my dog and I are doing something together. The second you say that to yourself, you've shown up differently, and emotion goes up and down that leash, and so does your dog. The dog knows if you're present and if you're doing it as a team activity or if you just happen to be doing it as a chore, need to walk the dog. And I think you'll find you're less likely to be on your phone. You're there showing up with your dog, paying attention to your dog, and we can get into this, but it unleashes, pun intended, I'll follow your initial yeah. lead if you like puns. It unleashes so many benefits. And how I develop that is I've been a veterinarian for a while, and I've been outdoorsy for a while, and I like bringing my dog along, but I didn't always know how to do that and how much activity you can give a dog, how long can you hike with a dog, how do you take a dog on a bike ride. So I started looking into that. Turns out there really isn't a dedicated site for doing stuff with your dog outdoors. And maybe the geeky part of me thought, well, let me look into some benefits or the science behind all of this. There is so much there, Adam, so much. If you are standing in the intersection of doing some sort of partnership with your dog, right? Togetherness, it could be a jigsaw puzzle, but way more beneficial if you make it active. So you and your dog are showing up together, you're doing something physical, and you make it in nature. Both of you are sitting in the pool of benefits of physical activity, the benefits of being in nature, and the benefits of a deep connection with the human-animal bond. You both get those three benefits together, very simply. So that's, in short, what dog packing is. You pick the activity. It could be hiking, it could be biking, it could be snowshoeing or swimming or international travel. But the idea being, you and your dog are doing something together, and that's dog packing. So it doesn't even have to be a big adventure.
But we're traveling a lot with our pets. We enjoy going on vacations with our pets, with our dogs specifically too, going outside and having memories together, and sharing those experiences together. So I love that we're talking about this. And in fact, as veterinary professionals that are tuning in, we talk about our wellness plan. We talk about creating a wellness plan. We give recommendations. Sometimes it'll be exercise. But I like that as veterinary professionals, we should be recommending these kinds of outdoor activities such as movement in nature, right?
Absolutely. And maybe the information wasn't there, or the DVM curriculum was just so packed, but certainly, or maybe I just wasn't paying attention. Back in the 90s when I was in vet school, I did not emerge with this knowledge. And so, looking at this and sort of pulling it together, I haven't invented anything new. I think I just through some deeper dives that I was doing for articles that I made for a website related to this. Sitting here, like there are so many benefits to connecting with your dog through outdoor activity in nature. And we'll get to that in a second, why grass is different from concrete and why it's a huge benefit. But to your point of prescription, absolutely, like preventive and also from a healing perspective, it can hit both. So I wouldn't wait for the dog to be ill or the person to be ill to do it. Just get them out on a regular basis if this is a habit that they're doing. And I think once they get in, and it deepens the bond just by showing up together with your dog and doing something together, whether it's biking or hiking, suddenly it's something that you and your dog do together. That creates a deeper bond. We could get into the neurochemicals and the oxytocin and the confidence and such that it increases, but it improves your health span to you and your dog. Human physicians, some of your audience might have heard that there's park prescription. So there's a movement for MDs to prescribe because of the science-based benefits of time in nature. They're prescribing that to their human patients to get outdoors. There's so many equal patient benefits to having a dog get in nature as well. So by sending the dog into nature, guess who goes along with it? So in other words, it's a good way of delivering this to the person as well. And often people might be more likely to get outside because we've suggested taking their dog and doing this rather than suggesting to them. Like I think we're all more likely maybe to do something for the benefit of our dog than for our own benefit. We sit here eating potato chips knowing that that may not be, the best thing for our future self. But yeah, the benefit, if you look ahead, from increased mobility, increased cognitive function, movement is medicine. Look at that. Being in nature also on trails compared to concrete has not only the emotional benefit of just being lovely and serene, being in nature and the calming effect that has physiological benefits, but moving in nature has physical benefits. And you think, well, yeah, I could do that on the sidewalk in a concrete jungle. But the difference is also from a proprioceptive and an experience standpoint. So if you pick the concrete sidewalk over the park, concrete high impacts, so it's not that forgiving in that way, but it's very forgiving from a proprioceptive standpoint, right? I mean, a drunken person can make it probably halfway down a sidewalk, but probably not so much on a trail. So both for a person and a dog, it increases cognitive function, decreases cognitive decline over time if you have spent regular time doing something that involves a bit of feedback, which a trail asks you to do. Concrete, like a sidewalk, flat sidewalk doesn't. That's pretty forgiving if you don't walk very well, if you're a little bit sloppy. So from the standpoint of, is your dog, if you look at later in life, that older dog, as they start to misstep and maybe not have as much placement and proprioceptive ability, some of that probably is a function of time, of use it or lose it. If you've been taking them on the trail because you picked the park over the concrete, you're probably going to find that your dog is not only more mobile over time, but has better cognitive function and proprioception. So a whole lot of benefits. Pick the park over the sidewalk if you can.
Yeah, a mutual colleague of ours is actually an MD and double boarded in palliative medicine. He's an oncologist, Dr. Ed Cragen. He In his book, he writes the prescription for one of his patients is to get a pet, and he talks about the healing power of pets. just exactly what you were mentioning before, and the fact that when he's noticed when he has his cancer patients, he wants them to move, but typically they don't want to get out of bed. But when they have a dog, they will go for a walk and they will experience nature, and that beauty behind that shared values between the human animal bond are so strong, it continues to keep them going. So when you were just mentioning that before, I was like, oh, I want to mention that, because I know a lot of MDs are now prescribing pets for so many reasons, as we know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so much, there's science behind that, the benefits of the companionship as well, having that sense of responsibility, because you need to, I think, as if we just talk from the human perspective, I think we're here more as advocates for the dog, but both are benefiting from this relationship and getting outdoors together. As you get older, if you're on your own, I think everybody wants to feel that they have value to the world, right? And we're rooted and we're wired to connect. So to have a dog, if that's all you have, and maybe you don't have as many friends later in life, for instance, and you've lost a partner, if you've got your dog, not only is that reason to get out of bed every day, but it also gives you that sense of responsibility, because you now have someone that's dependent on you. And again, that gives you, oh, I do have value in this world. Even if you don't say that to yourself, it's not lost on you that you still have some value in the world, because someone depends on you and someone, someone's there for you and wants you to get out and do things. Yeah. But getting out and doing things is, it's medicine. It's preventive medicine and actual like therapeutic medicine.
Yeah, it is. I want to talk about sniff time. This is something that before I was talking with you about this, I mean, when I was in the exam room and talking to clients about this, how important it is for dogs to sniff. But I really want to get your perspective on this, especially now that we're talking about them when they're going on further hikes. How can sniff time and freedom to explore improve behavior and even quality of life for our dogs?
Yeah, that's another huge rabbit hole that you go down, and they are related. You mentioned sniff time, and you mentioned agency, and there's a bit of difference, but there's a lot of overlap. And we'll start with sniff time. And that means, when your dog goes to sniff, it's so easy if we're feeling a little bit rushed, like, oh, got to walk the dog, and done sniffing. And we think, oh, they're just sniffing because they feel like it. But if we help owners understand, and again, I'm not faulting vet school. I just happen to not recall this, from vet school. But now that I'm doing a deeper dive and pulling it into this is one of the huge benefits. And this is part of showing up for your dog. If your dog asks to stop and sniff, then letting them sniff, there's a lot of cognitive and physiological enrichment that's happening to them, right? They've got 40 times the olfactory receptors that we have. In other words, it's a far richer experience. And I would say maybe a good analogy is for us, if we go on a road trip, but we're not allowed to look out the window, how depleting that is, right? For us, it's hard to understand, I don't know what you're sniffing, but to us, that's not a very rich experience. For a dog, huge, 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 huge for them. So it's not only, wow, this is really helping them. And there's probably a bit of maybe a similar to a meditative state when they go and they get to sniff things. So not only are they enjoying that in the moment, but if we back up and look at it from the standpoint of agency being the ability to have some choice in your life, some control over what happens and your experiences. And there are ways I didn't even know this, how important that is for a dog. Because we think, oh, dogs have such a great life. Look how free they are. They don't have to go to work and things. They're free, but they're not really free, are they? I mean, they get to experience. We control what they experience. And I'm not saying that in a cool way, just in a very matter of fact way, let's admit it. They get to experience what we let them experience. And that includes letting them sniff. So if we deprive them of that, it's two things. One, we've deprived them of the benefits of sniffing. But the other huge thing, we deprive them of agency. When they said, hey, I feel like sniffing, to say, absolutely. Oh, I get to pick. I get to pick that I get to choose to sniff now because I feel like sniffing. And to them, not a big deal for us to just stop for half a minute. To them, huge win for your dog. If they've asked for something and you have said yes, including, I won't do it right now if she brings a toy, but if I'm working on something and my dog comes with her squeaky toy, it's so easy for us because I've done this myself. You're busy and it's just not the best time. So they show up with an invitation. Here's my squeaky toy. Can we play? Two things there. And just, I think if we remember, you've got an opportunity for a very, very powerful gift to your dog that enriches the bond as well. When they come with their toy, if you can say yes in that moment instead of 5 or 10 minutes, to us, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but we've just rejected our dog if we say not right now. And from an agency perspective, like, oh, I was hoping right now I could play, but not only can I not play now, I mean, unless they do it on their own, but yeah, my mom, my dad, my family member, my human just rejected me when I tried to come and connect. And I'm not saying this to make everybody in the audience feel really bad about doing this, but if we have no idea that that's what we're doing to our dog, the flip side is we have agency to say, I'm going to say yes, because I just accepted your invitation for a little mini date. And then the dog's like, oh, I actually have some choice in my life. And there's something, you know, on the other end of this called learned helplessness, where if they don't, I mean, these are the rabbit holes that you start going down. If they have no agency in their life, they're just told all the time, they don't try. They don't try anymore. And that just sounds so sad. And I'm not saying that happens to a lot of ours, but if we think there's a continuum, where do you want your dog to be in terms of its life experience and how much freedom and power it feels in how its life is going? Maybe like with a kid, do you want apple juice or orange juice? I don't have kids, but I'm just guessing. That probably is huge rather than you get apple juice, right? But so for a dog, little wins can be, if you're walking along, and as long as it's not taking you totally in the wrong direction, if there's a fork in the trail, let them pick. Because normally we just, you know, we're going this way. Let them choose. Huge win for the dog. Huge. So just little things like that.
Yeah, I'm thinking of, we have a state park by us that is very popular and, you know, everyone goes to it. And when I take the dogs and I see dogs doing this, and it literally is dog packing without a doubt. There's trails everywhere. And exactly to your point, when I see them make that choice, like they go left, right, and the owner's like, okay, we're going to go this way. The wiggle butt, the tail, everything changes, you know, on the dog's personality. They're so happy that they feel they are literally on a mission, you know, and when they're sniffing, it's more than sniffing. They're even using their ears or digging a little bit or, you know, really getting into something that they're experiencing that they wouldn't have on a regular walk, let's just say. So it's just so fascinating to even look at the dog's behavior. And let's call it what it is. We're talking about the human-animal bond. It makes me feel good knowing that my dog felt so accomplished. And man, let me tell you, they are tuckered out.
They are, because you let their brain work as well, right? Because it's being that enriching. Yeah, but such huge wins. And then it kind of comes down to, you know, think of it as like, whose walk is it?
Right.
You know, is it your walk or is it their walk? And honestly, and if you maybe have time restrictions, okay, well, you know, I only have 10 minutes, but I'm going to let the dog choose where we go for the 10 minutes, right? Or they can choose for 5 minutes, and then in 5 minutes we turn around, for instance. But you're just saying to your dog, you get some freedom. Or for some people that might say like, oh, well, you know, I like to train or have my dog walk beside me. Maybe there can be, you can divide the walk up into sections. Maybe the first third, they get some freedom. So off the gate, the first part of the walk is freedom time. You get to pick what direction we go in. You get to sniff when you want and that sort of thing. And then maybe the middle of the walk is, okay, now we're going to practice healing and do a little bit of that. And then maybe the last third is a bit of off leash time or a bit of exploring, that sort of thing. So there is ways, I think, to mix it up where it's not the dog that's like pulling you down the sidewalk. But yeah, I think if we just sort of keep in mind, there are a whole lot of super small, very actionable tools that can set the dog up for massive success and enjoyment, massive quality of life, and benefit us as well, enrich that bond, because suddenly the dog knows if you're showing up present for it or not. It can tell. Like they can tell. And it's not that you can't pull out your phone at all, but if you're engrossed in your phone, you're not benefiting from the park space that you're in, right? But from your dog's standpoint, they can tell that you're not even paying attention to the fact that they were hoping to sniff that tree that you just passed, for instance.
Right. And what are some, are there any other simple science-backed ways dog owners can strengthen their bond during everyday routines?
I say having a routine is good. Dogs like some sort of predictability, but not so much routine that they don't get variation, if that makes sense. So they like to kind of get a sense of like, okay, I kind of have an idea of what to expect, but my life is not limited to just chocolate and vanilla, if that makes sense. So some things you can do, if you add novelty, and that can even be, and I'm saying this from the standpoint of people in a in a busy life. I'm creating, trying to create actionable low-hanging fruit for people. So they don't, that doesn't have to be a three-week adventure, but how do you create novelty? How about you go around that walk that you do? Maybe you make it in the park instead of the sidewalk, you know, already pick green space or blue space, you know, near the water over gray space, concrete. But maybe you make it go in the opposite direction. Already that's a huge novelty. Like we're so used to just doing the same walk all the time. Pick a different direction. And, you know, already that will help. If you give your dog a bit of novelty, like, oh, today we're going to explore a park in town that we have not gone to before. Fabulous for the dog, something new. The other thing that it does science-wise is there's something called judgment bias and optimism bias. I'm not sure if you've come across that term.
Oh.
Yeah, I hadn't. So it applies to people and to non-human animals as well. And if we look at it for dogs, okay. Judgment bias is sort of what color glasses do you have on? Are they rose-colored glasses or are they skeptical glasses? And that means sometimes it's personality-based is the origin. Sometimes it's affected by your previous experiences, but it means if something novel happens, there's a new person comes walking up or a new scenario. Are you or is the dog, we'll talk dogs right now, is the dog by default more likely to see that as, oh, look, something new, something good's going to happen, let me go see it, or, uh-oh, something new, I'm skeptical, it was going to be something bad, I'm going to hold back. And you can actually change whether your dog has optimism bias and is going to tend toward, I look forward to new things and investigate them, which is a far healthier frame of mind for them to live in, or I'm just going to be skeptical of everything. And sometimes the skeptical of everything is just the dog's initial personality, but there's so many ways you can turn that around and get them to have more of an optimism bias by introducing, so having a routine so they know, okay, I know my home, I know my place, I know generally how life works and positive things are happening. And then you introduce small things that are novel, like little experiences. So it may not be, let's go in the car and go kayaking. That's probably too different too soon. But hey, how about we just keep picking a new park each time so that they get used to a life that has some routine and some stability peppered with very positive mini new experiences. And again, they can just be like nearby. You don't have to do anything grand. But that will really help to create optimism bias so that when they see something new, yay, let me go see. Now, it doesn't always work in their favor because that rattlesnake might also look pretty interesting too. Yeah. But you know, in general, you want them to have what I see in front of me that is new is probably going to be a good thing.
I'd like to see now that there's a lot of pack walks that are happening. I know near me, they have like a pit bull meetup group. And every now and then, I'm not part of it, but one of my friends is, and she's like, they change up the day. They don't know when it is. And they do it intentionally for the pitties. So that way it changes up their routine. So maybe it's on a Saturday, maybe it's on a Friday evening, or maybe they're going to go to the beach, the dog beach, or they're going to go to a park. And the chat about it, she was telling me, is that these dogs are now like looking for their friends. Like, oh my God, Molly's here. So good to see you. How's it been? Like they have these little sniffing conversations that happen. And then All of a sudden she said they go for these walks. There's about 20 of them. And they all quiet as a mouse. And they're all doing their thing. They're going into the trails. They're all exactly what you're talking about. And they said all the owners are so happy and content. I just think that warms my heart. You must love hearing that too, right?
Completely. Oh, all around. It's just checking off so many boxes, not to get nerdy about it, but, yeah. But I mean, it's just such a beautiful story. Yeah. I think also there, what I'm hearing is it's something that's fairly regular. So the dogs know, oh, I've got this event that I'm looking forward to doing with dogs that I recognize, right? So that brings some familiarity and a lot of excitement and comfort for them and their owners there as well. But then there's introduced a novelty of, oh, where are we going now? Oh, there's Molly. We're at a beach. I've never been to a beach before, but Molly's here. So I'm going to have a good time with it, right? Yeah. So suddenly you're introducing versus maybe if the dog were inherently a little bit timid, and this is where it can really work for dogs that are timid with novel experiences to have them sort of pair up where there's now safety in numbers and familiarity, right? They're doing something with other dogs that they're familiar with. Great. Now let's put them into a novel situation that is low risk, right? So it's not not something that they need to be too worried about. You're not taking them deep scuba diving mission or something.
Right.
And just beach time, for instance. Oh, good. I'm looking forward to the beach, or I haven't been in waves before. Oh, but Molly went into the waves. Yeah, all of this stuff. And it's just a good way of them to look at life.
Yeah, it really is. And speaking of mindset, what would be one mindset shift that you'd love to see more dog owners doing and veterinary professionals adopt when it comes to bonding with dogs?
Oh, to that, I would say the one that I like to keep in mind is simply, when you show up differently, so does your dog. And that can go in both directions, right? If you show up differently because now you're preoccupied, your dog senses that. But when you show up as like, oh, we're doing this as a shared event, then they get that, and they, you know, and they're right there for it. They show up differently. They show up in partner mode. So if you can think of it maybe as, hey, how do I check these off? Or what should I be suggesting to dog owners to get the most out of these little benefits? I would say if they can try when they head out the door to make it shared, right? To show up that way as we're doing this together. Make it shared, make it active, and make it green.
Love that. Yeah.
Three things to remember.
I love it. It's so easy to remember too. And you know, when we're educating pet owners about all preventative medicine things that we're talking about, this is a great conversation to the listeners that are tuning in, like the why behind what we do, you know, why we vaccinate against leptospirosis and flea and tick prevention, heartworm, because we want them to enjoy these shared experiences with us, to go on hikes and go into lakes or whatever that might be. I just think it adds value to the preventive medicine of the why behind what we do. You know, I say to everyone, we're not vaccinarians, we're veterinarians. But when we start making these recommendations more in the exam room to be like, oh, what's your adventure going to be this month or whatever that might be, you know, you're part of that storytelling with them and that adventure. So I love that.
That's exactly it, right? Mitigating risk, setting them up for success to be able to go and do these. And on the website, or you know, through this, I've met quite a few people, like quite a few dog packers. Some of them go on bike trips with their dog, just local ones or longer, like multi-day ones. Others do camping, others do hiking, others do international travel. But the stories are always, when I say, what do you and your dog love most about it? Always the connection. It's not about the bike. It's not about the paddleboard. That just happens to be the tool that they're using because one or both love it. Or at least, you know, that's the origin. Like, I've always loved paddleboarding. Now I'm bringing my dog. Or I've always been a cyclist. And now I realize it's far much better. Like, it's way better. I go slower and maybe I don't cover the same distance when my dog's with me, but I wouldn't trade it for the world compared to going on a bike ride by myself. And yeah, dogs love bike rides, by the way. And there are a lot of good ways to, regardless of the, I mean, unless you have a newfie, you can probably bring that along on your bike in a trailer or in a basket or something like that. But it's about the connection. And then you're more likely to go and do it. And when it's something that's paired up, like, oh, this is a thing, this is what we do. I mean, you can play tennis together maybe, but I have an idea who's going to win.
Right. You know, they're not in our lives for long, but we want to make the best of that moment that they have with us. And every day should feel like the best day ever with them. And what I love what we're talking about is none of it costs a thing. The only thing that costs is just our time. And that's all our dogs want with us, is just spend time with us. They don't care if you're taking them into, you know, a trail versus, like you said, to a beach or some bougie place. As long as they're with you, that's all that matters, you know?
That's just it. Some of the big things that I highlighted as talking points right here. Low cost, high impact.
Yes.
Huge wins. And again, it's choose your own adventure. So again, make it shared, make it green, and make it active. And that just means pick what activity you want to do, pick the green space or the blue space, and just show up shared with your dog. And again, it can just be 20 minutes in the local park, or it could be some multi-day adventure that you're doing.
Yes. Oh, I love this so much. I'm so glad we had you on. Thank you for sharing all this great information with us. Dr. Krista Holling, so good to meet you.
And you as well. I really appreciate you bringing me on. And I'm hoping that this resonates with some veterinarians to think like, oh, such a different way to connect. And just these, like, hopefully these have come across as super actionable, low hanging fruit that can make a huge, huge difference to the health span and just enjoyment of life to the person and their dog.
Yes. Where can we learn more?
Oh, for people who are interested, they can check out the website, which is called dogpacking.com, dogpacking, dogpacking.com, or on Instagram, dogpacking_com. And then hopefully, I'm hoping next spring there'll be a documentary coming out along these lines. When you said dogs aren't around for long, yeah, the documentary is called 12 Summers, the movie your dog wants you to see.
Oh, yes.
And it's a message, sort of a heartwarming message from dogs to dog owners. If dogs could speak and say, here are the things that really, really matter to me, and the easy wins with, it'll be science backed and weaved in some personal stories from people that are getting out there doing things with their dog and for how they're benefiting.
I love that. And to the listeners, if this doesn't make you proud to be in the veterinary profession, I don't know what does. I know days are hard. Some days are very hard. I get it. But this is the why behind what we do every day. This is the why. It's all about that human-animal bond, building those connections, creating wonderful, lasting memories. And I feel like we need our pets more than ever now, more than ever, to go home to cry on or be there for us and show up for them, like you said, as well. So this couldn't come at a better time. I'm so glad we had this conversation. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me on. This has been such a treat, Adam.
My pleasure. Thank you for our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we continue to grow the platform. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.